Mick Jagger once said that it's all right letting yourself go as long as you can get yourself back. Paul, the anti-hero rock star in Birdland, has definitely gone too far. Hello, I'm Fiona Gruber, and here's Birdland's author, Simon Stevens, talking about hanging out with Nick Cave, being inspired by Bertolt Brecht, and how even though you hate Paul, you won't be able to look away. It's all down to our fascination with fame.
Paul in Birdland is playing to 100,000 people a night. He's dislocated by the paralysing nature of celebrity. And I think that's something which plays out in a much broader way in our culture. And the whole nature of our media is built around this craving for that form of fame. I think it's a profoundly lonely thing. I think it's born out of the atomised nature of capitalism. And I think that's what the play is about.
Paul he's a sociopath in a way. His weird rock and roll lifestyle has completely disconnected him with the normal responses that that a human being has. He meets people and he immediately wants to manipulate them to see how far he can seduce them with his fame and his money. It's very hard to like him, and yet obviously he's a character that does demand a certain amount of empathy, doesn't he?
What was really interesting to me in the writing of the play was really pushing how deeply I could rid a character entirely of empathy, and then what happened dramatically if you did that. So putting him in a whole series of different situations in which he does the unthinkable. You know, putting him in situations where he says the thing which one is never allowed to say, does the thing that one is never allowed to do, because his fame and his money have brought him in a position where he can. And actually, I think that gesture is fascinating. I think that fascinates us as much as it repels us. And it's the same fascination as we have when you put us in a room. We want to know what's behind the door. You know, what would happen if you transgressed? And that's something which is shared with pornography, the play pornography, which is a consideration of different types of transgression. I think Birdland is taking the same consideration of transgression and just filtering it through one character who transgresses more than any other character I've written, in a way.
How did you go about doing your research, though? Obviously, you had a bit of knowledge from being in a band. I noticed at the beginning of Birdland, you thank various people, band managers, Radiohead, mm-hmm. Coldplay.
Yeah, I met several people who were involved in the music industry. I met Phil Harvey, the manager of Coldplay, who was incredibly generous with his time and fascinating, talking to me about how Chris Martin lives his life. If you're Chris Martin, what's it like to take the rubbish out at the end of the day? You know, what's it like to take your kids to school? You know, if you're Tom York, then what's it like to go to the corner shop to get some milk? Brian Message is also Nick Cave's manager and put me in contact with Nick Cave, which is really, really thrilling. And he gave me some thoughts on the play, which were just, I was absolutely beside myself to meet him.
So Nick Cave read your play?
Yeah, Nick Cave read it and was really kind about it. Was really, really kind about it. It was one of the highlights of my entire life, was meeting him. And he was really fascinating because he'd given it to a colleague of his who'd really hated it and kind of said of it, why should we care about this prick, meaning Paul at the heart of the play. And his friend's a musician, and Nick Cave kind of looked at him and said, yeah, that's because you're not the front man. You don't get it because you're not the front man.
Yeah, I mean, it's exhilarating in a way, in a sick way, when you read the play, watch the play, to think, what is this guy going to do next? How far is he going to go in his appalling behaviour? And yet, we kind of all, I think, have an idea that kind of rock stars do behave like that. They do just click their fingers and get people to sleep with them. They do have drugs injected into their eyeballs, which is, I'd never heard of before until I read it in your play. And it's, you know, it's just fascinatingly debauched.
I have to say it's eye drops rather than eye injections in which he has the cocaine in his eye. No, don't worry about that. That was taken from an extraordinary documentary called Cocksucker Blues, which is a Robert Frank film about the Rolling Stones touring the Exile and Main Street album, in which Keith Richards has cocaine dropped into his eyeball. And that, you know, Keith Richards, like Jerry Lee Lewis, like, you know, Sid Vicious to an extent, you know, in weird ways like Kanye West. You know, there's something intoxicating about the strangeness of those lifestyles.
I mean, what gave you the idea to write Birdland? What was the genesis of it?
Well, I think plays have several genesis, if that's the plural of genesis. I'm not entirely confident that it is. There were lots of things that I was really interested in looking at. I've always been fascinated by rock and roll, and you know, it's the art form that has most inspired my sense of self, more than any other art form, more than theatre, certainly. Throughout all my life, I've been inspired by rock and roll and by music and musicians. And also the kind of strange experience of seeing friends of mine, peers of mine who are actors, become famous. It has happened to a couple of friends of mine, and it's fascinating watching them wrestle with that and deal with that and live with that. So that was quite key. I think Bertolt Brecht's first play, Baal, it's deep in the metabolism of this play, and in many ways Birdland's a retelling of Baal, quite an extreme reimagining or rewriting of Baal. You put an amoral poet at the heart of the world of the play, and the universe is, you know, the universe operates stratospherically around this artist, and that happens in Baal and it happens in Birdland.
And you've also got the friendship between the two men.
Yeah, exactly. And a friendship between on the two men, which is built upon a betrayal, and there are similarities between the word Paul and the word Baal. It's why he's called Paul, actually. My image of the band is it's kind of a two-piece, you know, like the White Stripes or the Black Keys or a band like that. You know, it was just the two of them. Or Erasure, something like that. The final breaking of that friendship is almost like the final victory of money. And I think there's something immensely hollow about it. I mean, there's a deliberate hollowness. I'm not criticising my own play for being hollow. I'm just saying that was what interested me. Is just how far does the corrupting nature of finance push our human relationships? And our culture builds itself around the stories of the famous. If we're really living in the age of consumption, maybe the celebrity teaches us what we can consume and the moral pitfalls of a life built entirely around that consumption. And it's been something that I've returned to is an impulse to write something jagged and dangerous, because that's, you know, musically that's what excites me, artistically that's what excites me, and theatrically that's what excites me too.
Simon, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Birdland by Simon Stevens, directed by Leticia Caceres, is playing at Southbank Theatre, the Sumner, from the 6th of June to the 11th of July. Book online at mtc.com.au/birdland or phone the box office on 03 8688 0800. This podcast is part of the MTC Talk series. To listen to more episodes from the series, visit mtc.com.au/mtctalks or search for MTC Talks in the iTunes Store or on SoundCloud.